Today I'd like to focus on the first reading, and this is the passage from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and also the Psalm 106, when it says that, "Then he spoke of exterminating them, but Moses, his chosen one, withstood him in the breach and turned back his destructive wrath." But an interesting way that the psalmist explains Moses as an intercessor, as a mediator on behalf of the chosen people. Take a look at Exodus chapter 32. The Lord said to Moses, and a very interesting play on words here of what the Lord says to Moses and what Moses says back to the Lord. So the Lord says to Moses, "Go down at once." You know, leave Mount Sinai, go down. It says, "to your people." Notice God doesn't call them his own people. He says, "Moses, they're your people. Okay? You brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they become depraved." See, when there's always this covenant relationship between God and his people. So when the chosen people sinned, it was a kind of infidelity, right? Adultery that they were committing. They were now, it says, becoming depraved. God says they have so soon turned away from the path that I pointed them down. And they've made for themselves a molten calf and are worshiping it. As you know, Moses was on the mountain for 40 days, and apparently all the people down below got very bored, and they figured Moses wasn't coming back, so we need a new God. And so they pressured Aaron. And you remember this from this past Sunday. They pressured Aaron, and they all gave their gold jewelry and all their gold items. And it says Aaron put them in the molten furnace. And, you know, it's pretty funny, when Moses came down from the mountain, he asked Aaron about this. And Aaron says, "Yeah, I put all the gold in the furnace and it came out a molten calf." Okay? As one priest once said, in the history of the Bible, there is no more lame excuse than that, right? All I did was put the gold in and a molten calf came out. Of course, that wasn't the case. They had to form it and fashion it. And so they began to worship this, you know, what the pagans would do, to worship an image of gold. It says they worshipped it, they sacrificed to it, they cried out, "This is our new God of Israel who brought us out of the land of Egypt." And so the Lord continued and said, "I see how stiff-necked this people is." What does that mean, to be stiff-necked? It means they were so proud and arrogant, they would not bow their head to God. That's what that expression in Scripture always means. And so God says, "Let me alone, let my wrath blaze against them and consume them, and that will make you then, Moses, I'll start over and make you a great nation." Well, now we have Moses as the intercessor, as the mediator, standing in the breach, it says. Moses implored the Lord, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against," what does Moses say? "Your people." He reminds God, "Lord, these are your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt." See, Moses didn't want to have it look like they were his people and he did this. He's reminding the Lord, "Lord, these are your people. You brought them out of the land of Egypt with great power and a strong hand." And then he says, "Lord, if you destroy them, you're not going to look good to the Egyptians." He says, you know, if you do this, the Egyptians are going to say, "Well, he probably brought them out with evil intent, that he might kill them in the desert, in the mountains, and exterminate them from the face of the earth." So he's saying, "Lord, you're not going to look good if you carry this plan out." And so he says, you know, "Let your wrath die down. Relent in punishing your people." And then he reminds the Lord of all the faithful people that he had. "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how you swore to them, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, and all this land you will have as I have promised, and I'll give your descendants all this heritage." And then the passage concludes by saying, "And the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people." Now, what's important to understand is that Moses is not more merciful than God, okay? That's sort of how this is portrayed. You know, God's going to punish and Moses is more merciful. But it's important not to look at it that way. Remember, any mercy that Moses has is because God put it there. God is the author of mercy, and He wants us to intercede on other people's behalf. That's why you pray for your husband, your wife, your kids, your grandkids. See, we're all supposed to be intercessors. We're all supposed to be mediators. God has this in His plan. He wants us to pray for others. So don't look at this and think, oh, you know, Moses is much more kind and loving and merciful than God. God is perfect mercy, perfect love, perfect truth, perfect justice. And if Moses has this in his heart, it's because God put it there. And God is the one who's inspiring Moses to intercede on behalf of the people. So that's the one thing to remember, that God is the merciful one. God is the just one and the loving one. But He inspired Moses to be that intercessor and that mediator on his behalf. So again, this shows the importance of, in God's plan, He wants us to intercede and to pray on behalf of others. He wants us to stand in the breach, you know, for your loved ones, for your kids, for your grandkids. He wants us to be intercessors. And always remember, if we want somebody's conversion, then God infinitely wants that conversion all the more. And the only reason why we want it is because God has put that in our heart and inspired us to be merciful like the Heavenly Father.